Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the path to self-leadership mastery and life success. Redefine how you lead as you redesign your business. I call this dual innovation leadership. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and effectively. Discover something new from our meaningful conversation today.
Hi, welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Today's special guest mentor is our daughter, Olivia Foley. Hi, Olivia.
Hi.
Last January, we aired our first two podcast conversations where Olivia talked about graduating high school during COVID and entering UW-Madison as a freshman. The school was in lockdown, everything was restricted, and classes were online. Olivia described the degree of isolation she felt living in the dorms and the anxiety and depression that accompanied it. I felt it important to discuss the mental health challenges of our youth that we are hearing so much about. In the second podcast conversation, we discussed adulting and self-reliance. This included discussing how Olivia was getting her universal human needs to be met of connection, honesty, physical well-being, play, peace, autonomy, and meaning. The upside of the COVID-19 pandemic is a new appreciation for our emotional and social well-being. Olivia used the time during COVID to get to know herself better and continue learning while some dreams of playing violin in the orchestra and joining the rowing team were put on hold. Olivia's sophomore year provided new opportunities. She joined the orchestra to play violin and was able to join UW-Madison's women's rowing team. We appreciate in-person learning more than ever now and the importance of relationships. We've also learned to care more about how others feel and manage crises. In some ways, we are more human. So 1 year later, Olivia and I were talking, and we thought it would be a good time for her to come back behind the mic and discuss how life is going for her. So welcome. How are you?
Doing good.
All right. Excellent. Well, thanks for agreeing to join me for another podcast conversation. It's been a year. How are you feeling right now?
Feeling pretty good. Spring break, so it's nice being home for the week.
Very good. We aired our last conversation in January of 2022. You can find those two conversations in the podcast resources at wementor.com. You were about to enter the official start of UW-Madison's rowing season. You had never rowed before. This was last fall. Tell us how your interest started in rowing and who inspired you to read Boys in the Boat.
Well, started just by getting a campus-wide email. No idea what rowing was as I ran and skied in high school, and they just sent out a campus-wide email saying we are taking any and all individuals, and they listed skiing as one of the highly recruited sports. And so I decided to go to the open house and try out for the team. Our neighbor rode for his college in England, and he told me to read Boys in the Boat.
Okay, excellent. And wasn't there another coach, one of your Nordic coaches that also?
Yeah, after I started rowing for a while, he told me to read Boys in the Boat. Yeah.
Okay. So it was another coach that reinforced that too. And anytime I talk to any adult about rowing, it seems like anyone who's knows anything about rowing is through reading Boys in the Boat.
Yes. Very popular.
Yeah. So rowing, like every sport, has its own language and rules to learn. Tell us some of the basic rules that you started learning in the fall of last year.
So there's typically...
Or 2 years ago, really.
Yeah, typically first learned how to row. So we were put in the boats. But for rowing, I either row in an eight, so eight people row, or a four-person boat. There's twos or doubles and singles as well, but I don't row in those. So usually races are 2,000 meters. In the fall, they're a bit longer, but standard is 2,000 meters. And just the gun goes off and you row, and there's a coxswain who's a little, the small little person yelling at you, telling you what stroke to take and when, and they're yelling you at you the whole 2,000 meters. So you just kind of black out and go.
Yeah. What's the scariest thing that's ever happened while you've been rowing?
The common thing is it's called catching a crab, but it's when the oar kind of dips into the water and it swings back at you. And I've almost gotten thrown out of the boat. So that's a bit scary because the oar comes at you. And I've almost flipped a few times, but haven't yet. So we'll see.
So you chose the lightweight team versus the open weight team. Why?
So they just as like a preliminary thing, they take your height and weight. Because rowing is a weight-based sport, and I just happened to be right around the cutoff for the lightweight team. So I was kind of just chosen for it rather than I was choosing.
Oh, I see.
Choosing it, but just based off of me being kind of on the shorter end. I'm 5'6", but for rowing that short and just being in the weight limit, that I could not compete against the open weights as they can pull a lot faster than me. So that's how I ended up on the lightweight team.
I was surprised to learn that the rowing competitions are called regattas, that they're primarily out of state was the bigger surprise rather than the name regattas.
Yeah.
How have you found traveling with the team?
I love it. It's so much fun. Can be pretty tiring. We're normally call time for the boathouse is around 4 or 5 a.m., but traveling is super fun. Pretty much all of our accommodations are taken care of. So they just kind of tell us where to go. And it's traveling with like 20 of your closest friends and a lot of goofing off. I mean, we take the actual events very seriously, but everything else is pretty fun.
After our last podcast conversation, you flew to Cocoa Beach for training with your team for the first time. How was that?
Last Cocoa, so not this past January, but the one beforehand, was pretty intense. Just first of all, no idea what to expect in terms of a training camp, but also just being new on the team as a walk-on, not really knowing team dynamics, and just having mixed with varsity. It was very intimidating and a lot. They had us in mixed boats, so varsity with us walk-ons, and that was pretty nerve-wracking, having to row next to people who've been rowing 6-7 years and feeling like I was the one making the boat go slower. So it was pretty taxing mentally, but through it, I made really strong connections with a lot of my walk-on class and understood a lot of the girls better. So overall, learned what a big training trip was like, and this year it was a lot of fun.
What surprised you about this training in particular?
The training trip as a whole or just rowing in general?
The training trip as a whole.
I mean, it was just interesting. I've been on a few training trips for skiing. We did like the winter training. And so I had an idea of what to expect in terms of like two practices a day and general ideas of how to feed myself and stuff. But it was just interesting seeing being like with such a large team, and we were gone 10 days, which was much longer than normal ski trips. So I think it was just the duration of it and how I think it's also more mentally taxing than physically because we're in great shape, but it's just after about day 6, it wears on you.
Yeah. And what about the treatment of the upperclassmen to you?
There were some, I mean, great people that we really connected with. Some were less welcoming. And so that was pretty hard. I internalized a lot of things. I mean, looking back at it now, I mean, most the people who kind of treat me bad, I'm really close with, but it's so funny there. But it was just pretty hard as a novice walking in and then feeling this negativity. And I knew, luckily, I had the novice girls with us, and so we did a lot of beach walks and kind of just clung to each other. But it was pretty hard not knowing what they thought or just feeling like the constant judgment in the boat because we were new and didn't, I had no idea what I was really doing. So it was pretty hard that way.
Yeah. And it took you a little while to kind of regroup after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you did. So now that you're a junior and considered an upperclassman, how are you treating your younger teammates differently?
I think it's a mix of being a junior, but also just being a second year on the team. Because last year I was still older than, or about the same age as the varsity members, but there just was that divide between a novice and a varsity member. So I think this year was just a big priority of even just learning everyone's names. That was an issue last year, and just making sure like they felt they were human and like we were like friends rather than this divide of being like you're a novice, like looking down upon. So I think it's like important to cheer on your teammates when we do big erg pieces or at lift, just checking in with everyone. So I think that was a big thing that me and a couple of my teammates have been trying to work on this year.
Yeah. How many regattas did you race in last spring?
I think it was around four or five.
Okay. And how did that go for you? I mean, that was the first time you were ever in any type of competition.
Yeah. That level, yeah. It was, some were really great. We had, our first one was in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And for the lightweight category, because there's only seven teams in the nation that are lightweights, most of our meets are actually open weight events as well, or like we participate in the open weight category. So as a novice, we had like, there's no one knows how good you are. And so it was just a lot of fun just going out there and seeing what we could do. And we had a lot of success, but it was pretty intimidating. I remember our first like official lightweight we had, it was the Eastern Sprint. So we were competing against Harvard, Princeton, Stanford, I think Boston was there. And I was so nervous at the start line. I was like a lot of imposter syndrome, but in the end, they were all really fun. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you ended up like winning some championships for their four-person rowing.
Yeah, I was in a four all last fall, the novice four. And so we had a lot of good times in that novice four. We did really well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess that was last spring.
Yeah, last spring is what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. And which was your favorite?
I think the one we had, it's called Dad Vale, but it was in Philly. And that was, we raced about four times over the course of the weekend. And there was just not a lot of things went right. And our last race, it started like pouring rain halfway through, but it was so fun. And everyone was just kind of like joking. And the novice four, with the four of us, we kind of stuck together. And so I think just like looking back, there's just so many memories, good and bad, from that weekend that it's just a highlight for everyone.
And what's the last race of the year, the last regatta?
It's the national championships.
And what's it called?
The Intercollegiate Rowing Association Championships, IRAs.
Yeah. And where is that held at?
That's in Princeton.
Okay. You would describe everything as kind of a not a big deal. Did that turn out to be a bigger deal than you thought?
Yeah, that is like a huge deal. That's every lightweight team and other team from the nation is there. And so that was like, that's like what we look for throughout the whole season. We have a countdown and that is our end goal, is like the little regattas mean stuff, but this is the one that everyone knows is you get ranked for, and that is the national championship.
You started rowing not knowing whether this would be your sport. I remember talking with you about, you know, just exploring it and then seeing what happens from there. And so sometime during that first year, you determined something. What was it?
I think it was just, I don't even know if it was quite even the first year. I think it was maybe a glimmer at the end and more this coming year that I really decided, not even decided, just started to like rowing a lot more. I think it was just so new and still learning team dynamics and coaching and just the schedule lifestyle change that I didn't really, I was just giving it a go. But I think after like traveling and seeing like what we were going for, because we didn't race at all in the fall, And then in Wisconsin, the lake freezes. So we're inside for about 5 months, which is pretty unusual in rowing. And so I think it was just hard to see. So at the end, I started to really like rowing. And now it's a lot of joy. So
yeah, you said it was your sport. Yeah. All right. And what were the highlights of the season when you reflect back on that year, that first year?
I think it's first the connections I made. I'm really close with the whole team now. There's about 20 of us that are super close, have been through a lot. And that was really good. Love the spring break training trip in Tennessee and just being able to train. So for the national championships is in June. So we get out of school early May. And so we train all of May at school, and that was just a lot of fun, just training and then sleeping and then training some more for the month. That was a lot of fun.
That's cool. And can you give us an idea of kind of what your daily schedule's like?
We train 6 days a week, and so Monday through Friday I get up around 5 a.m and then quickly get ready and meet my two friends who live close to me. And we walk to the boathouse, which is on the other. So I live on one side of campus and it's on the other. So we walk there and practices from 6 to 8. We're either on the water or erging. And then we all shower in the locker room and I get breakfast and then I'll go to class. So then I'll have class 2 to 3 classes a day and try to squeeze in as much homework in between that and rest. And then I'll go to my second practice, which is it lift or an on your own workout, which is around 3 to 5 p.m. And then I'll come back, make myself dinner and crash on the couch, watch some TV with my roommates and go to bed early as for a college student around 9 p.m. and do it all again.
One of the perks that you have has to do with food.
Yeah. So as an athlete just at Wisconsin, we have, which is super nice. We have all these not even amenities, just accessibilities for us. We have learning center and tutors. We have lunch and we have sports med available to us. So we can spend pretty much the whole day at, it's the student athlete performance center at the football field, and we can work there and get all the help we need.
Yeah, that's really nice. And physical therapy and anything else you need help with. So you came home then after IRAs last year. And what did you do for the summer?
I went back and I worked at Mis Amigos Spanish Immersion Preschool as their student intern. So I worked there the summer beforehand. And this is my second summer there. And I worked just with the executive staff doing planning and curriculum translation and anything they needed help with, which it's a lot of fun. So that's what I did over the summer. And then just the running and roller skiing here and there and soaking up the sun.
Yeah, you did have a good summer. Last year, you had three other roommates and they're not all three with you this year. But how are you challenged to kind of speak up for yourself, which is one of the things that we talked about our last conversation, was that you were asserting yourself and in taking on the adulting aspect of sorting through, you know, when things are working and when you need to speak up when things aren't working. And you made a decision to not have one of your roommates continue with you into this year. How did that come about? Like, how did you assert yourself?
My two other roommates and I, we just talked and decided that it was going to be us three that wanted to live together is just and not live with our other roommate. And so we all sat down together and just kind of told her, and it didn't have the best of endings. It was a pretty rough spring semester with her, but it was nice having my other two roommates who my best friends, and we kind of bonded together. And then it was just kind of a cohabiting space with our fourth roommate, which was pretty unfortunate, but I just kind of like let her do her thing and try to move on the best I could. Just had to keep going.
Yeah, I think what's hard is like you start school, you're adjusting to everything. And then like halfway through the semester, or not even, you have to make a decision about whether or not you're going to continue, you know, living in your apartment. And so right away, if things aren't going well with your roommate, I mean, you have to have these hard conversations. And then, like in your situation, the person, you know, wasn't, you know, that it, you decided that three out of the four were going to continue living together. So the fourth person just had like an awful time.
Yeah.
And made it miserable for the three of you too. I mean, she could have handled it differently. And, but I think in general, it's just a hard position for anyone to be in.
Yeah. Madison, especially, but most college campuses just have a housing shortage, especially with the deferment of people from COVID and then our people coming back. So there's way more students on campus than normal. So in Madison, we have to decide around October, November, where you're going to live for the following year. So as a freshman, that's hard. You're just meeting friends. And then I was a sophomore last year, so it was still meeting new people, but then yeah, having to decide right off the bat and then live with either your current roommates or future roommates next year, or the people you decide not to live with, which can be a pretty awkward situations. But I think that's just learning that people don't always have to live together and can still be friends. But in this case, it just didn't happen that way, which.
Yeah. The three of you actually got closer because Kelly was transferred from the U of M.
Yeah.
So you were adjusting to her too. So she was kind of thrown in the mix. And mm-hmm. And you had your original roommate, Grace, from your freshman year, which was really nice.
Yeah. And pretty funny. I ended up living with Grace all 4 years. But
yeah.
So pretty unique in that situation, but it's fun.
Yeah. So you made the decision to not go forward with one roommate, but so that you needed to fill your space. What happened this fall?
So we filled the space and then something with that happened and we ended up getting placed with a new roommate, Kirsty, and she is an exchange student this year from Scotland, and she's just been a blast. We had never met her and she just randomly got placed in, and it's been a lot of fun. Super great roommate and great person, and it's been fun learning Scottish little mannerisms and slang and meeting. She's friends with a lot of exchange students as well, so meeting all them and new face in life.
It's impressive how much she's like traveling all over and just exploring things. She's got something going on every weekend. And how has that influenced you?
Yeah, she really gets out and tries all new things. And we have a joke. There's been a few mornings that she's just coming back from the night and I'm leaving for practice at 5 a.m. and we run into each other. But yeah, she goes hiking and very adventurous spirit. And so I think that's been a breath to see and just fun. She's always down to do anything. And I think that's really helped my other two roommates as well, because they've really gotten out there. So,
oh, that's really nice. Yeah. So speaking of kind of changing, how do you create the space for all of you to kind of keep changing and trying out new aspects of yourself and explore new adventures and give each other space to just, you know, be who you are?
Yeah, I think it's one really nice in my apartment. We each have our own bedroom, so we can just, if we need a moment or just not having it, we can just go to our own rooms and just kind of adjust. But I think we each have such different interests that we're really encouraging each other to get out there. And we've all, like, I started with my rowing team, and then one of my roommates started work. And then my other roommate started her program, which is, she's an education major. So it's, she's met a lot of friends through that. And so I think we're all really encouraging to have other friends besides ourselves. Yeah, it's been good.
Excellent. And I just one last thing I wanted to ask before we close out this conversation was, your majors are psychology, Spanish, and women and gender studies. How are you finding the coursework as you're getting further along in your major?
I have loved all my courses. I mean, obviously, there's been a few doozies, but so far, especially this past year in general, fall and spring, I've really taken more specialized courses and really have loved my teachers and what I'm learning. And it's a lot of writing and theory, but it's been very, very good and especially interesting with some of the courses I'm taking right now are very prevalent to what's going on in the world and especially Wisconsin with current voting and just patterns of migration. So it's been interesting to see how that applies to present day stuff.
Okay, really great. Well, anything else you would like to say in this conversation before we start our second conversation about giving us an update on what it's like being a student athlete?
No, I think that was all great.
Okay. Well, in my day, women weren't, you know, promoted like you are now, and even having separate teams. So I'm just really glad that Madison has had, what, their 51st year now of women rowers on the as connected with the college. So excellent. Thank you, Olivia, for being my guest mentor today.
Yes, you're welcome.
And thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you all next week.
Expand your leadership skills and become more resilient and competent as a business owner? Do you want to bring more meaning to your relationships and more purpose to your business? Are you ready to take charge of how you innovate, create, and run your business? Our dual innovation leadership process will help you redefine how you lead as you redesign your business. We collaborate with you to do what will work for you as you evolve and change. We start with where you are, whether you are turning around a financial crisis, growing to the next level, or somewhere in between. We address your immediate needs, shore up business development gaps, expand relational literacy, and build upon your entrepreneurial leadership skill sets with a short-term results orientation and a long-term perspective. Start by subscribing to this podcast at wementor.com or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. If you are ready to hire a mentor, contact me at nancy@wementor.com. When we mentor, you create better life and a more fulfilling future as an entrepreneurial leader / innovator, as a competent business owner / practitioner, as a mentor / role model, and as a human being courageously living a meaningful life. As Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see in the world. Get involved today. It's never too late to change your life and how you lead.